From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we commence a series of studies in the Book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Look at David's Lord and Master. See his beginning. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Would you see the end? He sits at his father's right hand, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. As he is, so are we also in this world. You must bear the cross, or you shall never wear the crown. You must wade through the mire, or you shall never walk the golden pavement. Cheer up, then, poor Christian. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. See that creeping worm, how contemptible in its appearance. It is the beginning of a thing. Mark that insect with gorgeous wings, playing in the sunbeams, sipping at the flower bells, full of happiness and life. That is the end thereof. That caterpillar is yourself, until you are wrapped up in the chrysalis of death. But when Christ shall appear, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Be content to be like him, a worm and no man, that like him you may be satisfied when you wake up in his likeness. That rough-looking diamond is put upon the wheel of the lapidary. He cuts it on all sides. It loses much, much that seemed costly to itself. The king is crowned. The diadem is put upon the monarch's head with trumpet's joyful sound. A glittering ray flashes from that coronet, and it beams from that very diamond which was just now so sorely vexed by the lapidary. You may venture to compare yourself to such a diamond, for you are one of God's people. And this is the time of the cutting process. Let faith and patience have their perfect work. For in the day when the crown shall be set upon the head of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, one ray of glory shall stream from you. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Contemplate his goodness and his holiness.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. With today's program, Dr. Cairns commences an intensive study of the book of Romans. In this epistle, the Apostle Paul explains the meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its fullness. Because of the book's importance in the light of current reappraisals of Paul's writings, Dr. Cairns first explains the necessity for a clear understanding of this vital epistle. As he will emphasize, any preaching of the gospel that is not based on Paul's exposition of it in Romans is not biblical. Now, to introduce this message, Romans, a glorious and powerful message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Romans chapter 1. You'll hear that a few times, God willing, in the days to come. Romans chapter 1. And as Mr. Braham said, Luther commanded Christians to learn the book by heart. That's not an easy task. But if we do it slowly enough together and you learn a verse or two every week, you might make it. But he certainly wanted Christians to learn it off by heart. So at least the first half chapter in the next few weeks, try to learn it. And I think you'll find that you will be able to learn it. And it will be a great blessing to you just even to have the scriptures readily available to your recall as you memorize it. Now, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Finishing our reading at the 17th verse of Romans chapter 1. Let's bow together in a brief word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. We thank thee for this book of Romans, a book thou hast so signally blessed in its exposition and application for 20 centuries. Gracious Father, we come humbly before thee to pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open to us the treasure house of divine revelation and to show us the wonders of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Thank God we can say tonight, when many are turning from theology to some branch of humanistic study, when many are looking to man's need in man himself, we can say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God bless our study in the gospel tonight, and in thy will, in the weeks to come, give us an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Open our hearts to the book and lodge thy truth forever there. We pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Paul's epistle to the Romans is undoubtedly a monumental book. Many commentators, in fact, probably all commentators, comment upon the fact that is not merely accidental, that Romans stands first of all the epistles in the New Testament canon. The interesting thing about that is that Romans was undoubtedly not the first of Paul's epistles. Most commentators believe that that honor belongs to 1 Thessalonians. That really all depends on how you understand the word Galatians, and whether there were two Galatians, without getting into that, and whether Paul wrote to one or to the other. But certainly Romans was not the first written of Paul's epistles. And yet, though this epistle didn't come into writing, into existence, until the very end, almost, of Paul's third missionary journey, talking, according to scholars, 57, 58, possibly 59 A.D., when he was about to go to Jerusalem with a special offering for the poor saints, though it didn't come into existence till such a late date, it has always stood first in any list of Paul's epistles, or indeed of all the epistles. And the reason is because of its importance. We've already said what Luther thought we should do with this. He called it the chief book of the New Testament. John Calvin said, when one gains a knowledge of this epistle, he has an entrance open to him to all the most hidden treasures of Scripture. That's a very big statement. But Calvin was right. The Dutch annotations call this epistle a key to the right understanding of all the Holy Scriptures. And many writers have drawn attention to the opinion of Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who thought this the profoundest piece of writing in existence. The book of Romans is a deeply theological book, and yet Romans is not really a theological treatise. It is an epistle written by an apostle to a small, struggling church in the greatest city in the world in that day. It is an intensely pastoral epistle, because its aim is the instruction of this little handful of saints and their establishment as saints of God in the gospel of God. Now stop and let that sink in. He wanted them to be established as saints of God. So how did he go about it? He said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Paul knew nothing of this utter madness that has afflicted the modern church, and especially Bible-believing churches. I say especially because they ought to know better. Where the gospel, somehow or other, has been misconstrued as a message to tell sinners to come to Jesus, and once they have come to Jesus, then they need some how-to-do book in order to become established as the saints of God. Paul knew nothing about that. He says, you are saints. You need to be established. How can you become established? By being instructed in the gospel. And I am ready to go to Rome for that purpose. So it's not surprising then that the book of Romans expounds the gospel more fully than any other book in the Bible. This is a book that is full of Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful exposition of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, starting right from the opening words, right through this epistle. There is this constant emphasis upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul develops that, he develops the theme of our position in him. But lest people get that glorious truth out of balance and caricature it, he brings alongside of that another great stream of thought regarding the Holy Spirit. In many ways, Romans is a great epistle of the Spirit. Some of the most wonderful statements about the Holy Spirit and his work are found here. And as Paul develops the teaching about the Holy Spirit, the emphasis is upon his work in us. So he sets forth Christ and our position in him. And then he shows the Holy Spirit and his work in us. So this really is a wonderfully practical book. Now all this would be good enough reason for anybody to study the Epistle to the Romans. But there are other reasons. I was reading the words of a Swiss theologian and commentator, Frederick Godet, who wrote in the 19th century. This is what he had to say about why he was writing his commentary in Romans. He said, I believe the divine conception of salvation, as expounded by St. Paul in this fundamental work, to be more seriously threatened at this moment than it ever was before. For not only is it combated by its declared adversaries, but it is abandoned by its natural defenders. Now, Godet was writing, as I say, in the 19th century. I wonder what would he write if he were living today. That attack upon the Pauline doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, has been under constant attack. So that we have reached the place in modern evangelicalism that what is presented as the doctrine of justification in most places is not Paul's exposition of the doctrine. It is not Luther's exposition of the doctrine. It is not Calvin's exposition of the doctrine. It is not John Wesley's exposition of the doctrine, just to make you understand that I'm not merely talking about the Reformed camp and thinking it's all Arminian problems. What is being preached today in most evangelical pulpits, unknown to the preachers, mind you, is the undiluted poison of the Council of Trent. That's what's being preached. The Roman Catholic perversion of the doctrine of faith, of the doctrine of righteousness, about which I'll have a lot more to say, a little tonight and a whole lot more in days to come, if God spares us. Their conception of righteousness, their mixing up of justification and sanctification. These are the things that are taking place in evangelicalism today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.